sacrifice. And we bless your holy name. Lord God, we thank you. We continue to pray for our nation, Lord. God, we're facing so many obstacles. Yet in the midst of all of that, there is still life and there is still hope. And as long as there is life, there is hope. And as long as we can trust in you, Lord God, there is hope. And so we are hoping in you that you'll bring us through, God. We're depending on your unchanging hands, that even though we are going through difficult times, you will yet remember us. You tell us that we could call on you and you'll answer and you'll show us new and mighty things. So we're calling on you. Speak, Lord, for your children are listening. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so we thank God, for God's word is true. Truly, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I thank God for God's word, because without God's word, I don't know how I would make it through. I could speak for myself. When I'm weary, I go to the rock that is higher than I. And God's word is that rock. For Jesus became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the embodiment of the Word that came and dwelt among us. And we thank God for God's Word. And so today, my sermon title is Repentance is Life Changing. I want to focus on repentance today. Repentance is life changing. We don't talk about repentance anymore. Repentance has become not so good a word, a dirty word. Nobody wants to repent. We don't like, we say it, but we don't do it. And so I wanted to begin by this little brief reflection. It says, pain can make us willing. Looking at Jonah. And the writer says, in an old Christian song titled Hornets, the verses recount the stories of Jonah, Moses, and Balaam, and how God got them to say or do what he wanted them to do, what they wanted them to, even though they were unwilling at first. The song gets its little verse, its title verse, from a verse, that explains how hornets can make a person leave a room, not against their will, but willingly. And it is a cute little tune, but I don't know the tune, so you don't have to worry about that today. Don't know that tune, but it's a very cute little ditty that they play with a guitar. But it says, one of the verses said here, when Jonah was sent to the work of the Lord, the outlook was not very bright. He never had done such a hard thing before, so he backed and ran off from the fight. But God sent a big fish to swallow him up. The story I'm sure you all know. He did not compel him to go against his will, but he just made him willing to go. He does not compel us to go. No, no. He does not compel us to go. He does not compel us to go against our will, but he just makes us willing to go. Amen? And then the second one, another verse says, and then it has a few verses about Moses and so on, but it says, if a nest of live hornets were brought to this room, and the creatures allowed to go free, you would not need urgence to make yourself scarce. You'd want to get out, don't you see? They would not lay hold and by force of their strength throw you out of the window. Oh no, they would compel you to go against your will. They would not compel you to go against your will, but they'd just make you willing to go. Amen. He does not compel us to go. No, no. He does not compel us to go. He does not compel us to go against our will, but he just makes us willing to go. And God is a way of what? Making us willing to go. Amen? One writer says, the important relationship between grace and repentance. When grace introduces us to repentance, the two of us become best friends. When anything else introduces us to repentance, it feels like the warden has come to lock us up. But when grace gets involved, the truths of repentance reveal a fabulous world of life-freeing beauty. And so the writer is saying God sends repentance with grace. Grace and repentance is completely together when God offers us repentance. And what is repentance? What is repentance, friends? That word that we don't talk about anymore. Right? Nobody wants to repent, as I said earlier. Repentance, metanoia in the Greek, repentance called for throughout the Bible is a summons to a personal, absolute, and ultimate unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. Though it includes sorrow and regret, it is more than that. In repenting, one makes a complete change of direction, 180 degree turn towards God. Now, that's why we have a problem with it, isn't it? Because we have to make a 130 degree turn towards God when we repent. It's easy to say the word repentance and then to do repentance. Thus, to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. Two, to feel regret or contrition. Regret or contrition. To change one's mind. To cause to feel regret or contrition. Right? Again, to feel regret that we have sinned against God. When last have you ever felt that you have sinned against God? When last? I will later on give you a little prayer that we pray all the time, most of the time through the communion liturgy, and that we say this. When last I ask the question of myself and all of you, do you regret that you have done something against God? Do we think about that anymore? Do we think that when we're lying or we think it's only when we steal or big things or murder or things like that? But what about when we don't do what God has told us to do? When we make up stories that are not true? When we color things, right? When we do horrible things? Do we regret it? Do we believe that God is really watching? Do we understand what the sovereignty of God means? Do we get it that God is all-seeing and all-knowing? Right? Do we get it? I remember, as I get to the text, my mother, when she used to send us to church all day on a Sunday, but we would have to go first in the morning for Sunday school, and then she would want us to, then she would wrap a little sandwich, and then we would get a break in between because they didn't have cafeterias and that. And then we would eat and we would have to wait for the Sunday service. And she would come in the middle of the day and they would be there all day. And I used to always say, God, you know, Mom, are we the only one getting into heaven? Why we have to be here all day? Well, my brother, Tony, so I'm so close to him, the circus was coming to town. And it was at a place we call in Jamaica, it's called Race Course, where they have a big park. And the circus was coming to town, and we wanted to go to the circus. So we went to, we made a pact. And we decided that we were going to go to the circus. My mother was not going to church that Sunday, but she wanted us to stay for the adult service. She was trying to get Jesus in us, she said. She's getting us into heaven. So we went to the Sunday school, and we made a pact that we wouldn't go back to the full service. And we told Mrs. Brown, who was supposed to watch over us, that our mother allowed us to leave. Do you know what we were doing? And we went to that circus, and we made a pact. I thought we never told our mother till we were grown. We made a pact, because we didn't believe that God would really know, right? We didn't think God was watching. But God, I have repented for that, Lord God. And I know, I prayed it to you, you accepted it, because it's been a long time now, Lord. But we made our pact, we did not understand that God was watching. Jonah tries to run away from God. Now, this story is about the people of Nineveh and about Jonah. Because what does the text tell us? You heard it just read, right? That the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, go once to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, that great city, right? Why? And cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. The people were disobeying God. Go to New York City. Go to Las Vegas. Go to the U.S. Go prophet, go forth. Right? Because the people are doing things against God, right? He's telling Jonah. But Jonah set out to flee. Remember that little song? Jonah did not want to go, right? Jonah set out to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and we know what happened. I'm not going to give you Jonah's full story. Jonah is going to take a boat to go to Tarshish. You know, I've been to Tarshish in Turkey. He's going to take a boat to go to Tarshish, and what happened to Jonah? He got in the belly of a whale and all of that. We know that story. We know the story of Jonah, and we focus on the belly of the whale, and we miss the rest of the story because Jonah was fleeing from doing God's work. Amen? It's okay. So Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and because they threw him overboard, and Jonah couldn't get out. And this is the first part of Jonah's repentance. In the belly of the whale, the Bible says Jonah prayed to God. That is in chapter 2 of Jonah. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, and he said from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. He's not crying to God, and it's a long prayer. And he says, you heard my voice. And you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All the waves and your billows passed over me. And he goes on, but he gets to verse 9. He says, But I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. That's the moment he is now what? Repenting. What I've sacrificed to you, what I've vowed to you, God, I will do. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out up on dry land. So in the belly of the whale, Jonah realized that what, friends? You cannot run from God. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I make my bed in hell, you are there, right? If I go to the farthest part of the earth, you are there, right? Can't flee from God, for he has created us, he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He knit us together before we were in our mother's womb. We cannot run from God. Jonah repented. But something else happened. The people repented. Praise God. Right. So again, remember, in repenting, you make a turn, right? You make a 180 turn degree. You repent. So what happens? We see in verse 3 now, the text, the conversion of Nineveh. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time now. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. The second time he's going to give him the word. He says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. And so Jonah got up and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He's being obedient now. Amen? And now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city. a 3 days walk across. And Jonah got to the city and he told the people, right? He told the people and he cried out to them, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. He told them, things are going to happen. And the people of Nineveh, they believed God. They believed God and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, they put on the sackcloth. And when, here's the part that is good news for us today. When God saw that they did, saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do so. Do you know, friends, when you repent, you could change the mind of God. Amen? That is the key for us. When we repent, earnestly repent, we can change the mind of God. That's why it's life-changing. When we humbly go before God and ask for forgiveness, we could change the mind of God. We see Jesus saying it in the Gospel of Mark. He says here, the beginning of his Galilean ministry, he says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come. Now come near, repent, and believe in the good news. We must repent to be saved. We must say, God, I am sorry. And when we repent, God will change his mind. God may just change his mind. Think about that. When I do something wrong, I am thinking on that all this time. I have read Jonah, and this line the Lord brought to my attention, this verse, that God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said. Now, friends, there is a liturgy that we say at communion time. We have not said it often here, but I've used it several times. It is the service of word and table form. And it's a beautiful confession. And I wonder if when we say it, that we really think about what we're saying. And here are the words, friends. It says, Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all people. Let me get it in order here. Okay, Judge of all people. We acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness. That's the beginning of repentance, right? We acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed. We're admitting it. And then the line that I always like, that we have committed by thought, word, and deed. I say that all the time. God, if I've sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, we do earnestly repent. Amen? That's what we say in that liturgy, right? We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past. O God, forgive us all that is past. And grant that we may ever have to serve and please thee in newness of life to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That is a prayer of confession. I'm going to put it on Facebook. This is the one, we don't use it often here, but I always say it, especially the part that says here, that I acknowledge and bewail my manifold sins and wickedness, which I from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. I do earnestly repent. When we know we could commit it by thought, we think it. The fact that we don't say it, we're thinking it. And then we do it. My God, we ask God, and then we repent and remember, friends, today. Remember, friends, that God may just change his mind. When we earnestly repent, earnestly, deep in our heart when we repent. And then the prayer of pardon says, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee. Have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. These words are profound, but when we say it, we must mean it. And if we do mean it, God will forgive us of our sins. Amen. Jonah learned that, and the people of Nineveh learned that. Jonah is going to mess up again later on, but we're not here for that today. That you could read the rest of Jonah. It's a minor prophet, and the chapters are small. I think it goes to maybe 4 or 5. You could read the rest of Jonah for yourself, right? I think it's just chapter 1 to chapter 5. Jonah is going to, but God is going to yet show up for Jonah as Jonah sat under the tree. I tell you, our God is a forgiving God. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ to die for us and take on our sins. So when we come to him and seek repentance, he will grant it to us. Amen? Amen. So friends, if you sinned against God, go forth and repent. I'm repenting. In Christ's name, amen.